It's a privilege to be here with you. God bless you, New Dimensions Church. Well, what an honor to come and be a part of what God is doing in this church, in this fellowship. As Pastor Everett was saying, I have known him, known his name in the community. I think I actually met him in a prayer breakfast, Sam, I think over with Sam's prayer breakfast that was meeting over in Fayetteville a number of years ago. And so I enjoyed fellowship. The guy is, what impressed me right off is he's so articulate. And I was impressed with how articulate he was and clear in the clarity of thought that God had given to him. And just an all-around nice, friendly guy, too. And then, of course, it was a few weeks back that over at Grazing Here, I think it was, that I saw him again, and Sam and I went over and chatted with him, and as I walked over, or I think he walked over to us is how it happened, as he was coming over and greeting and saying hi, I distinctly heard the Holy Spirit say, you need to have this man come be with you. And I was excited about that, so that's when I went back over to him and, of course, whispered into his ear and said, would you consider coming and being a part of what God is doing with us? And so thank you for giving him up a couple weeks ago. And I trust that everything went fine here, whoever filled in for him. But as he was saying, I've been in the community for years. I came actually in December of 1978, took a battered and bruised and bleeding church that I was the fourth pastor in 2.5 years. And but I clearly had a word from God. I was an associate pastor in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, working down there. And I had come up here to visit this church one time. And I remember absolutely being so stunned at the metro Atlanta area, and the traffic and intensity and the stress. And I thought, I turned to people in the car that were with me. I said, I would never want to live here. And I would never want to pastor a church here. Don't ever say never to God. And so little did I know that sovereignly the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. I actually heard the audible voice of God. Is that working? Okay, all right. The audible voice of God and said, get ready, you're going to be leaving. And so I packed up my family, came and took this battered and bruised and bleeding church at the end of a dead-end road on Allen Drive, a muddy parking lot. It's actually under the fifth runway right now at Hartsfield International Airport. They came and bought that facility, bulldozed the whole thing, and completely expanded the airport across 285. That little church for the first 5 years absolutely just broke me in so many ways. It struggled, but then at the end of 5 years or so, and then 7 years, we began to slowly grow until I pastored a church called Atlanta Christian Center. That's what it was called. Then it turned to an Atlanta City Church, and it grew from, 50 to 100 to 150 to 500. And all of those numbers that I'm giving you, don't be impressed by those. In between all those numbers is a lot of highs and lows and a lot of ins and outs and a lot of heartache and a lot of growth and character growth and brokenness and humility. And then eventually we built a brand new building at the North Campus and then went down to Peachtree City and built a South Campus there. And I retired in 2010 is when I retired from that church with those two campuses. And then I went to the mission field in Botswana, Africa, and moved into there. And had never been there before and walked into a culture and a language I did not know and pastored a church there. Took over a church for a brother who was a missionary who was struggling with throat cancer. He knew me, asked me if I would fly in, take it. And I said, okay, I've got to raise support. Little did I know that God had arranged everything. A multimillionaire down in Sarasota, Florida, or Jacksonville, excuse me, Florida, paid my salary, paid my way there. And while I was there, we built a $4 million building, turnkey, which was unheard of in Africa, a children's home, and I was there for 2 years. I'm a musician. I played guitar, so I was known as the guitar pastor at that time. And so nobody came to the church because of just the church advertising. It actually, what actually happened is I got a hold of the music program, began to work with them a little bit more. They actually began to come hear this guitar pastor. And so that was kind of a phenomenon. I remember a little kid walking up to me and saying, do you realize you're the best guitar player in all of Botswana? I said, well, you have not traveled the world much. And I am not the best guitar player, but it was a great growth experience. And I came back here in 2013, went out to Boise, Idaho, co-pastored a church out there for almost 3 years on staff there, and then moved back here in 2016, started a Bible study, and now we're known as Home Church. We meet in my mom's church, or my mom's house. In fact, my mom is here. Mom, would you stand up? This is Wilda Snow. And I'd have to really credit her for raising me up and making sure I was in church all this time. And then also, we have good friends, Sam and Mary Jean, Pastor Sam Phillips. Mary Jean, would you stand and greet them in the name of the Lord? Known Sam for a number of years. Sam's been a pastor and a very, very committed Christ follower, both he and Mary Jean. And then very close friends, John and Lisa Beyer, right back there. Wave, John and Lisa. Lisa's hurt her foot, so she can't stand as readily. And then my beautiful wife right here, Susan, would you stand up? It's so good to have her with us. So, amen. All right, let's get into what God wants to say to us this morning. Being the Sunday before Christmas, it's amazing. This message was actually born out of 2015. I had gotten into a truck with a good friend of mine, and there was a track called The Gift of Peace laying on that truck bed, and he picked it up, and I looked at it, and I said, oh, that's an interesting title. And he said, Rick, he said, I've read that track, and he says, I do not have peace in my life. And he said it this way, do you? And I looked at him, and I said, yes, I do. I do have peace. And so out of that tow track, that experience and that conversation, I began to talk to him more about this area and about how wonderful it is to have the peace of God in your life. And so do I go across just like that? Go left. There we go. All right. And right here, you'll find in this verse, it didn't switch up there. Oh, it'll catch up. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to read from Isaiah chapter, it says, slide change air, it said. Oh, did it change? Okay. So I'll just have to look back here then. All right. A child has been born for us, and God has given us a son, and he will be called, everybody say this with me, he'll be called what? The Prince of Peace. Amen. Absolutely. He is the Prince of Peace in our hearts and our lives. And that is from a passage that's almost over 700 years before Christ came. That was mentioned. In fact, if you look at the Christmas story and go on, and Isaiah, let's see, here's the next one. Jesus said this in John 14, verse 27. He said, I'm giving you the gift of peace. Everybody say the gift of peace. Now, do you know how many people in 2020 right now do not have genuine peace? I mean, this has been a year to break all years. This has been a year that I've seen so many battered and bruised and hurting people, unemployed, stress, marriages breaking up. In fact, did you know that right now more young people have committed suicide in the state of California than COVID has ever killed at all? And what's really lacking in our nation today is peace. What's really lacking is the things that God has come to give each and every one of us. But I love the fact that he has come and he says, I am giving you the gift. And that's really what it is the gift of peace. And then he goes on and amplifies and says, the kind of peace that only I can give. In other words, you can't get this type of peace from a pill. You can't get it from a bottle. You can't get it from going to the refrigerator, or you can't go to it in entertainment. You can't go see any movie, even though a movie is wonderful and you'll see it and you'll get a rise out of it. I'll tell you, that lasts as long as you're in the theater, and by the time you get home, it's gone. The only peace I really know at 68 years of age that really, really hangs there and really helps me and sustains me is this type of peace right here. It isn't like the peace that the world gives here. And I have down here that the peace that the world gives, what it is, it's phony and it's fragile. It's really what it is. It's just phony, it's plastic, it's there temporarily, and then it's gone. But the type of peace that God gives is an incredible thing, a real peace that he gives to each and every one of us in our hearts and our lives. And I go left, is that right? Yeah. All right. So joy is mentioned 8 times in the Christmas story, and I'm going to pull a little bit from that here this morning. But 8 times that is mentioned that he gives to us. And it's a difference between happiness and joy. Let me just show you what that is. If you have your notes, I don't have some of this on my notes. I only have the main things here. But happiness, if I have happiness in my life, it's based on what happens to you. In other words, you can have a great day and have happiness. But that's a whole different ballgame when you talk about the type of joy that God wants to have. Over here, happiness, my external circumstances. And the one thing about this type of thing that the world gives, it's so fragile and that's so phony, is it's temporary. You're constantly having to have the next high or the next situation or the next thing that, or buy that possession or that next new car or that next whatever it may be, because it's temporary. You can't keep it. But when God gives his peace, when he gives his peace to us, it's a big difference. It's joy. Everybody say joy is based on my choices. In other words, my internal character and what it is, it's not temporary. It is long lasting. Everybody say long lasting. How many want that type of joy in your life? That's what I want. That's what I want. God, give me that type of joy that happens to me and long lasting. And so it keeps popping up error here on my screen. Is it fine here? Okay. All right. Now here, I want to give you a definition of joy. Again, this is not in your notes there. Here's what God's type of joy is, that really, if you have his type of biblical joy in your life, here's what it is, or his peace. Here's the settled assurance that God is in control of every detail in my life, and the quiet confidence that ultimately everything will be all right. Isn't that amazing? And you, when you have this type of peace and this type of joy in your life, you can actually have that in the midst of 2020, in the midst of a COVID crisis, and all of the confusion, all the political stuff and junk that's been going on. You can have that in your life. And it says here, and the determined choice to praise. Everybody say praise. To praise and thank God in all things. And what that is, especially since we just celebrated Thanksgiving a few weeks ago, is the attitude of gratitude. Even though it may look bleak, depressing, and discouraging, I can still count on God's type of joy and God's type of peace that's within my life and helps me and stays with me, and it sustains me through all the things that I face. Now, there are three kinds of peace that Jesus offers into our life, and I'll show you how these peace begin to work, and they kind of build as foundational stones upon our heart and our life. And the first one is here, number one, is a peace with God. And what that basically is spiritual peace. That when I'm right with God, and I have received Christ as my Savior, and I did that on Easter Sunday night, 1974, in Anchorage, Alaska. And I had all sorts of confusion and darkness and doom in my life at that time. But when I received him as my Lord and Savior, all of a sudden, I had a peace with God that I had never quite known. I'd have to go all the way back to when I was a child and being raised in the Assembly of God Church there in Orangeville, California. But all of a sudden, when you are right with God, it's amazing what begins to happen within your vertical relationship with him. God sent Christ to make peace between who? Between himself and us. In other words, if you're out of whack with God, you're going to be out of whack with everything else. It's no, I don't care what you try to do or how many things you have or the type of car you drive or how much square footage is in your home. When you're out of whack with God, things are not right, and it's hard to get that back. But boy, when you have that peace, what an amazing thing. Look at this in Romans 5, verse 1. It says, since we are made right with God by faith in Christ, we have peace with God. Say that with me. Peace with God. Because of what Rick Snow has done for himself. It doesn't say that, does it? A lot of people try to come to Christ and then after that begin to try to work it out on their own. It doesn't say that. It's what Christ Jesus has done for us. In other words, what he accomplished on the cross and imputed righteousness unto me, I have now that peace. But I have to fight for that peace. I have to make sure I do not allow other things to intrude or trespass upon that peace within my life. It's a valuable, wonderful thing that God has given to us. And then here's the next one here, part of this verse. Go on, change up there. Did it change? I guess it did. Okay, all right. I'm not used to all of this, so I'm used to a clicker that gives me a lot faster response. Okay, right, that screen there. Are we being beamed live all over the world right now? You know, your pastor loves electronic stuff. I was impressed with when I walked in. He It's amazing the things that he's got going on here. This is, I feel like I'm on the world stage. Is CNN? Is CNN getting this right now? Fox News, are they watching this? Hey, President Trump, God bless you. We're praying for you. We hope January 6th, we hope everything works out. A lot of confusion. But we're praying for you. We're praying for all of the government. We're praying for Congress. We're praying for everybody. All right. So they'll take care of them. All right. Look at this. Peace with God. Spiritual peace. Everybody say peace with God. Even though we were his enemies, God made peace with us. And thank God for that. Because his son died for our sins. There it is. Now that we're at peace with God, we will be saved for eternity by his son's life. Can you say amen to that? In Romans 5 and verse 10. And so thank God for the son's life and all that he's done for me and all that he's done for you. Now here's the second thing that God gives to us in this peace. And let me go on to the next one here. And here's what it is. Number two is peace with myself. Once I have peace with God, now I can have peace with myself. And this is an amazing thing to have. And once you have grown in your faith with God, you'll know when you lose this or something's happened or you've broken fellowship. Maybe you haven't broken the relationship, which I think is very difficult and very hard, but you can break fellowship with God by personal sin or signature sin or certain weaknesses or certain things that has happened in our life. But boy, when you get it back and you have it with God, that's an emotional peace. Say emotional peace. Man, it is a powerful thing to have. I've lost it from time to time with things that have happened or lousy attitudes or rebellion or self-centeredness or whatever you want to call it. But boy, when you get right with God and then all of a sudden you are right with yourself. It says, let the peace of God, and notice this rule where? In. It's, you might want to underline that or circle that on your notes. In your heart. In other words, it makes you feel good. And it's a very, this word peace right here, it's a very famous word. It's the word shalom. It has a very broad meaning in the Hebrew. In other words, harmony, deep unity. It's kind of a resetting of our soul and our spirit all of a sudden. It's foundational within our heart and our life. And Ephesians 2 verse 16 says it this way. Christ brought us all together through his death on the cross. The cross gets us to embrace, come on, say it with me, embrace each other and the end of what? Yeah, and the end of hostility. All you have to do is simply look at what's going on in our election process. Look at our federal government, look at our state and local governments, and you can tell there's a lot of hostility. I don't think I've ever seen the U.S. so divided. Other than when I can remember studying history as far back to the Civil War, we were pretty divided, but I don't think I've ever seen it this bad. And it could really, really slide very quickly. You know what the world needs out there? You know what the government needs right now? You know what the Congress needs? What the Supreme Court needs? It needs peace with God. But it's only going to get that by really surrendering themselves to our Lord Jesus Christ. If I get a chance next Sunday, I'm going to talk about just what the election has done to all of us. Through all the advertising, are you getting the crazy texts on your phone? I will get four or five a day. And then the commercials, I watch a lot of YouTube and study things and look at things. And it'll interrupt constantly with advertisements popping up, popping up, popping up. I've never seen so much causing hostility and this wall. But I thank God for the gospel, the cross of Jesus, and what God has done for each and every one of us. Now, when I lose that peace, but I gain that peace back, God has a peace for every problem in your life. And if you'll allow his presence and his goodness and his mercy that comes through the peace of Jesus Christ in our lives, you might have a financial problem. There's a financial peace that God will give you. Maybe there's a fear thing in your life. And God will give you a confident peace that overcomes fear. One thing I'm seeing everywhere in our society is fear. And fear has torment, the Bible says. And so the fear of man is a snare to your soul. But when you fear God, you stop fearing man. You stop fearing what they're saying in the press. I think we're being lied to. I think we're being manipulated. I think there's a spirit of manipulation, a witchcraft that's out there in the world today that's manifesting even more than ever before. But I stand against that with the peace of God in my heart, that when I hear the news, and I really have to be careful myself, I have to limit so much of what I take in, Pastor Everett. I just have to. And I remember looking on my iPad last night, and I thought, okay, there's Tucker Carlson, there's Fox, there's this, there's that text, there's that personal message from 15 people that send the same thing around the world to you. And I thought, you know, I've had enough of that. I can't listen to that. I don't want that in my spirit, in my soul. I want to keep the peace of God, especially if I'm getting ready to speak or come and be with you here this morning. There's a physical peace that God can give to us if our physical bodies are ailing. And then, of course, there is a forgiveness peace. When you know that you have actually received his forgiveness, and then you're able to give that forgiveness, and you'll know that things are right between you and God, and also between you and other people within your heart and your life. Within your walk with God. All right. Here we go. Now, there's three kinds of peace. Look at this. Here's the next one here as we kind of build up, as we keep going. You still with me? All right. In Christ's family, there is no division between Jew and Gentile, slave or free, or even male and female. Look at this. In Christ, we're all what? Say it with me. Equal and the same. Isn't that fantastic? Can you say amen to that? Now, when I took ACC back in 1978, we were one of maybe three or four racially mixed churches. I remember coming one Sunday morning and they had shut all the windows out in our church. I remember another Sunday, fast forward about a year later, Ben and Molly Robinson, I'll never forget this day. Somebody came rushing in, said, Pastor Rick, come outside. There's a terrible thing that's happened. Molly was in tears. One of my dear, dear ladies in my church, I opened the passenger door and I comforted Molly and prayed for her. And I said, Molly, what happened? She said, we woke up to a cross burning in our front yard this morning. I remember being called the N-word, that I was an N-lover. And a guy looked at the birthmark on my arm and says, you know what that is? He says, that's the N-lover in you. And I said, well, if Jesus died for them, I'm willing to give my life too. I remember he lunged at me. I closed the door. He crashed into it. He tried to come back with a shotgun. He couldn't do that. And then he got in the parking lot and did donuts out there with his car, just spewing gravel everywhere. And so we were turned down actual zoning. This is back in Clayton County. This is before all the counties changed as far as their makeup. And I lost a zoning battle because we had a racially mixed church. And I remember the head of the Clayton County Commission in the elevator whispered into my ear, you guys are just a charismatic church. I looked at the guy like, I thought, what? I said, the word is not charismatic, it's charismatic. And I said, yes, we are. We believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Holy Spirit. And he says, well, you're done in this county. And as I walked out of the elevator, I turned and I said to Charlie Griswell was his name. I don't know if anybody remembers that name. Do you, Sam? I turned to Charlie Griswell and I said, listen, I may have lost this battle in your county, but I'm going to cross the county line and build a church and come back and invade you with the kingdom of God. You know something? I think the Holy Spirit heard that and said, let's do it. And that's how ACC, which is now known as NCC, came about. And so it's amazing how God begins to give you that grit and how things change. But in Christ, we're all equal at the same. We're all in a common relationship with Jesus. In other words, blacks and whites, male and female, doesn't matter what you all. At the foot of the cross, everyone is equal. Can you say amen to that? Man, at the foot of the cross, every single one of us are equal in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, let's move on here for time's sake. It deals with all these different areas. Here's the next one right here. Number three is peace with others. Now, I've had peace. I have the peace of God. I have peace from God within me. And now I have peace with others. In other words, that's relational peace. And now my whole relationship begins to change. Christ brought us all together through his death on the cross. And the cross gets us to embrace each other. In other words, as a saint of God, as a person who has the righteousness of Jesus now imputed to me, I cannot reject other people. Doesn't matter what color, what divide, what doesn't matter what it is, I now must receive them. Why? Because of this right here. The cross gets us to embrace each other. Say embrace each other. And here it is. And end the hostility between different groups. Can you say amen to that? and it deals with racism in each and every one of us. And every now and then it tries to pop up, and God uses that. And I'm going to just encourage you. You keep right on reaching out into your community. Keep reaching people and touching people. I'll give you a little bit more background of just how the church grew and what happened. Our church was slow in its growth, and all of a sudden I got a long-distance phone call from an editor of the New York Post, or one of those big newspapers up in New York City, and said, "I hear you're a racially mixed church." I said, "Yes, we are." He says, "You're one of five churches in the entire metro area that's racially mixed." He says, "Could I do an interview with you over the phone?" I said, "Sure." So for almost an hour and a half, he asked me questions of how in the world, how did you get blacks and whites to come together? How did it grow? And I said, "Well, actually, I cannot take credit for this. It was this way when I came, and God would grow it black, and then he would grow it white. Then he would grow it black, and then he would grow it white. Then he would grow it black." And I said, "There's really no chemistry. There was no recipe. There was no 1, 2, 3 steps, and you get a racially mixed church. This was a gift from God. And I think he put it here to be a witness to the city of Atlanta." Well, he put that on the front page of the New York Times, I guess it was, one of those newspapers. And then CNN picked it up, called me and said, "Could we do an interview with you?" And they came in my office and set up and did almost an hour interview. And that put us across the metro area. And all of a sudden, Atlanta Christian Center became very, very well known, and people started coming and checking us out. It's amazing what God will use to end the hostility, say end the hostility, and make each and every one of us really recognize how important it is to have that equal footing in the things of God. So, amen. All right, let's go on here a little bit more. Now, there are building blocks of peace. Let me show you those building blocks. Here's the very first one. Is everybody say peace with God? In other words, we now have spiritual peace. How many of you have peace with God? Anybody have peace with God here? If not, all you need to do is open your heart and receive Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Then the next one here that God gives to us is peace with myself. We talked about that. We have an emotional peace. So I must start here as a building block, as a foundation. And then God begins to add the next thing is I have peace with myself. And now that I'm in harmony with God and in harmony with myself, the next thing, what happens? Come on, do you remember what the next one was? Was peace with others. In other words, if I'm out of whack with my wife, Susan, here, I'm not going to be doing things too well. Things are going to fall apart. And you know when you're out of whack with your mate. You know when there's a problem or that elephant in the room in a relationship. You can tell. But when things are right with God and things are right with yourself, all of a sudden now you begin to start taking the initial step to really reach out and touch others with the love and the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness and the goodness of Almighty God within our lives. And that helps us. Amen. All right. Let me go to here. There are three essentials to enjoying the gift of peace. Here's what the very first one is. I must experience a moment of clarity. Now listen very closely. If you're going to have this type of peace, there'll be times, and this is just life, you're going to lose it. Something will rattle you. Something will shake you. There'll be something in the marriage, or all of a sudden a loss of job, or a loss of a pregnancy, or a relationship. A lifelong friend all of a sudden stabs you in the back. Pastor Everett and I were talking about, I probably have 40 plus years. I've forgotten how long I've pastored. But I've had so many people betray, abandon, walk out, say this, do that, say one thing, say another. It's just life. That's not only true with the ministry. That is also true with each and every one of you. It happens to everybody. But you're going to be challenged, and Satan will try to strip you of that peace. But what happens is God is so real and so wonderful and so good that he gives each and every one of us moments, or maybe an initial moment of clarity. And I have several of those that happened in my life that happens. And all the characters in the Christmas story experience this. Now, this is interesting, and I'll give you some of the examples here. Let me go on with this. Is Joseph, when the angel came and spoke to him about Mary and what had happened to her. Can you imagine having your fiancé that you're going to marry all of a sudden turn up pregnant? And she was a very young girl, and the scandalous situation that unfolded there. But all of a sudden, he had a moment of clarity when that angel came and spoke to him and settled him. Here's another one that happened. is the next one, is Mary when the angel spoke the word of God to her. She couldn't believe what was happening to her and within her own body what would happen. And I'll never forget what she said to the angel. According to me, be it unto me your word, or your word, or what you've said, may it be unto me. And that was a moment of clarity for Mary. There was a moment of clarity for Joseph, and now for her. And then also, here's another one that happened, is the wise men, when they saw the star. And I like this one here because it's out in nature. I love the mountains. I love to get outside. I love to hike. I love to walk. I love to get out at night and look at the stars. When I was living in Botswana, on the southern hemisphere, you have never seen stars until you go down to the southern hemisphere. I've seen the northern, but we have a lot of light pollution here. But boy, when I flew in there, it's not industrialized. It's not commercialized. A lot of just forest out there and animals and elephants and spitting cobras and everything as you can imagine. But at night, when you stand and look at night, the Milky Way is so spectacular, you're almost stunned and shocked. I remember standing out there and actually almost like feeling like I could reach up and grab some of the Milky Way into my hand and hold it. It was that spectacular. And there are many times while I was there when I would be facing insurmountable situations and things that would try to rob me, I would stand there and have a moment of clarity and say, God, I'd open my hands to that big Milky Way. God, you made that universe. You made the planets. You put it all out there. And I thank you right now. What was happening was focus was happening back within my soul and my spirit. A spirit of revelation was happening. A moment of clarity that I was seeing who God is and how big he is. What happens is when you see how big God is, you realize how small you are. And how much you desperately need him. Boy, there's something that happens is your faith all of a sudden is enlarged, that moment of clarity. So Joseph had it, Mary had it, the wise men had it. Also the shepherds, when they saw the miracle of the angels appearing on the scene, they had a moment of clarity in that situation. And then the next one here, all of these with Elizabeth, through a friendship, she had a moment of clarity. Remember what happened in the story with Elizabeth? All of a sudden, here she came with Mary, and there was a moment of clarity in her heart and your life. God will use all sorts of situations within your life to give you a moment of clarity. And I've got to be ready to that. It can happen in nature. It can happen in a service. It can happen in your car. Ever had a moment of clarity while you're driving, and all of a sudden? I remember driving down, going north on 85 and looking at the city, and there's a certain curve right near the airport, and you can see the skyscrapers. And up to that point, I want to be very honest here, I did not really love my city. I kind of just put up with my city. And all of a sudden, I saw Jesus standing next to the Peachtree Plaza Hotel in a vision as I was driving. It's amazing how you can drive and have a vision and go capture all that. And all of a sudden, right then and there, I realized how much God loved my city. And I fell in love with my city. Things began to really change big time in my heart and my life because of that moment of clarity. It can be on a walk. Ever gone on a walk and you have a moment of clarity? Or a conversation, maybe a friend or somebody will say something. Or somebody will just say, listen, I need to talk to you. Have you ever considered this might be an issue in your life? I love you. I'm here for you. I'm not going to walk on you, but I want you to think about this. All of a sudden, what happens? Come on. Is a moment of clarity. And that can happen to any one of us. In other words, you see the way God sees, and all of a sudden I have down here, everybody say, I get it. Because that's what's happened. I get it. There's that revelation, and it happens within my life at that time. It's an amazing thing. And here's what Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 says. I pray that your heart will be flooded with light. Everybody say light. Here's why you need that light, so that you can see something of the future. Know what that is? It's a moment of clarity. All of a sudden, the fog is blown away. By the pneuma or the breath, the of the Holy Spirit. And you see life as it is. And listen, you also see you as you really are. Ever had a moment of clarity where God shows you your heart and it's maybe not the way you think it is? And all of a sudden, you catch a glimpse. Listen, the Bible says the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? In other words, you can't, I can't, but only God can. And he reveals our own heart to ourselves. and we have that moment of clarity that comes to us and we see it for what it really is at that time. So the opposite of a moment of clarity happens, and the opposite of a moment of clarity is denial. Everybody say denial. If you refuse that, in other words, you live in denial. The number one person that gives you the most problems in your life is you. If I could kick the one person that's caused me more pain in my life, I wouldn't be able to sit down for 3 weeks. My number one problem is Rick Snow. It's not the church, it's not the devil, it's not anything else, it's Rick. And all of a sudden God says, hey, let's strip off this. Let's take a look at this situation. Let's take a look at how this is working in your life. In a moment of clarity, I stop blaming others. I stop blaming others. I stop blaming others. Come on, say it with me. I stop blaming others for my happiness. I stop being in conflict with others. In other words, my biggest problem is me. What a lot of us do is all we do is perpetuate and actually kind of just put ourselves around the mountain again of wandering like the children of Israel. It's because we don't deal with reality. We don't take a look at maybe of a lack of character or a lack of patience or an anger issue or a talking issue or a gossip issue or a slander issue. And all of a sudden God says, listen, this has got to stop. And he gives you a moment of clarity and gives you a revelation in that area to deal with that and help you to move forward. Now make sure, look at this in Luke 11 verse 35. Make sure that the light you think you have is not what? Did you know you can deceive yourself? Then we deceive ourselves all the time. We think we're more important than we are. We think we're really bigger than we are. And all of a sudden God says, listen, let me just show you, you're not the center of the universe. Everything doesn't revolve around you and husbands and wives. And I see some of you poking one another right now out there. A lot of this going on in this congregation. I would refrain from doing that. Because you might be in for a big moment of clarity. I've done the same thing. Here's Isaiah 48 verse 18 from the Message Translation. If you had listened, look at this, all along to what I told you, your life, in other words, the peace of God we're talking about, would have flowed full like a river, blessings rolling in like waves from the sea. And if I had only listened, anybody here ever not listen to wisdom or advice? Man, I remember not listening to my parents and having to learn the hard way. I remember having not listened to God and it really burning me and realizing that God is there for me, but he also has got to learn, or I've got to learn to listen to him in a broken and humble way. Let me move on here for time's sake. All right, here's number two. Is the next thing is I must express an attitude of humility. If I want to have and hold on to this moment of clarity, I've got to express an attitude of humility. Here's what the Bible says, James 4 and verse 6. It says, God opposes the prideful, but he gives grace to who? To the humble. He wants to give grace to our hearts and our lives, and he gives grace to the humble. So God is not moved by my whining. Any whining here? Any complaining? Listen, a lot of us try to complain and carry on and carry on. That does not move God. What moves God is genuine humility. In other words, you learn to listen to God, and you learn to also listen to others. Where you wrote them off or you cast them off or whatever, he is moved by me asking him for help. And it takes humility to do this. In other words, I need to say, God, I need your help. I'm doing a project right now, a construction project. And I'm remodeling and kind of building this RV right now. It's kind of a side hobby. And there is virtually so many things I don't know what to do. I've just embarked on something the last 24 hours, and I really wasn't sure how to do this. And this has happened so many times on this little building project. I'll stop and I'll say, Holy Spirit, what do you know about this project I do not know, and what do I need to do right here with this wiring? Or this framing, or this plumbing, or this mechanical, or this steel work, or this welding, or whatever it may be. And you know something? All of a sudden a thought will drop, or I'll see a video, or somebody will say something, or my wife will say something to me. And then all of a sudden there's a seed that comes, and God begins to give me grace. I believe that you have not because you ask not. And so I'm always asking God a lot of questions. I'll say, God, what do you know that I don't know about this situation? I remember having a potential church split on my hands and a demonic situation at Atlanta Christian Center, Atlanta City Church at that time. And I remember this horrible thing. And I said, God, in my office, I stood up and said, I need to know what you know about this situation. And I mean, the minute I stopped saying that, the phone rang and said, do you know this and have you heard this? And this is what's happened. And this person is currently incarcerated. And I said, they are? They said, yes, they are. And I went to the jail in Jonesboro and I stood at that person that was causing me so many problems. And I said, you can't make bail for 48 hours and I'm going to beat you in the name of Jesus. And a demon began to speak out of this young lady, crossed through those jail bars to me. In the next 24 hours, I got on a plane, flew out to another state, rescued this couple that was involved deeply into this immoral situation, and got that thing turned around, but it was all through the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, how did it come? Through much study and my degrees and all my learnedness? No, it came by asking God for help. Now, what do you have in your life this morning that you need help from God in this area? And so as I learned to humble myself, Lord, grant us peace for all we have and all we are has where? Has what? It's come from you. Everything you have and everything that's coming towards you right now, it's come by the hand of God. And you got to stop and say, wait a minute, God. Everything I am, everything that I have is because of you. I desperately need you. And all of a sudden you make him big and you realize how small you are in that situation. Okay, and can you say this from genuine humility? That's what has to happen in every one of us in that area. Now here's another great verse right here. And especially for 2020. And I have up here at the top, has your heart been broken this year? And that is a really important question because so many people have been hurt this year. I love this verse. I'll read this verse many times a year. And I want us to say it out loud. Here we go. The Lord is close to those whose hearts are breaking. And he rescues those who are humbly sorry for their sins. And I'll say, God, thank you. And for brokenness, Lord, right now, peel me like an onion, God, and may I be totally transparent with what you're saying and doing in my life by the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's Philippians 4 and verses 6 through 7. It says, don't worry about anything, and that's probably the hardest command in the Bible. I could take the whole Ten Commandments, throw those out, and I'm embracing them. I believe in them. But listen, this is probably the hardest thing, is not to worry. When you worry, you cannot worship and worry at the same time. But when I worship God, all of a sudden out goes fear, out goes worry, out goes stress. So don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything and tell God. Everybody say, tell God what you need and thank him. And if you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far greater than the human mind can understand. God's peace will guard your heart. I love that. It'll protect your heart. Protect your heart, your mind, your soul, and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Can you say amen to that one? It's a powerful, powerful verse. All right, here is the review that we've looked at it so far. I have to have a moment of clarity. Everybody say a moment of clarity. And then I have to have an attitude of humility. Say an attitude of humility. I've got to have all of those in my heart and my life. And here is the third one. Number three is I must have this in my heart. I must expect Jesus to help me. In other words, I have faith, but I have a spirit of expectation that is going to help me. Now, look at this. This is Jesus talking in Matthew 11. It says, come to me, all of you who are tired. Anybody tired here? Okay. I get tired and worn out from carrying heavy loads. Boy, that talks about 2020, doesn't it? And I will give you what? I'll give you more work to do. Now, if I had written the Bible, that's what I would put in there. Come to me, and I'll give you more to do, but you'll do it under my direction, my help, and my wisdom. No, Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you what? Come on. Rest, and yoke up with me, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble, and you'll find peace and rest for your soul. A lot of people get mixed up with this word here. I remember talking about this over in Botswana, Africa, and they didn't understand the word yoke. They thought the yolk of an egg. Okay, you know, break some eggs, have an omelet with God. And I go, no, no, no. It's the yolk that you put on like an ox does. And out there in Botswana, Africa, there are 35,000 donkeys and they'll yoke them up together. And you know what happens when you yoke up with something or with another animal? They're able to share the load. In other words, they're able to take the load, the burden, the pressure, and they share that. And that's actually the type of yoke that he's talking about here. Probably most of you know that. But a lot of people get that confused. But he says, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble. Everybody say gentle and humble. All right. Now here's the first thing that I've got to learn to do. These are all really easy. Is come to Jesus. Everybody say come to Jesus. Now you say, well, I've done that. I've done it hundreds of times. I mean, do you really come to Jesus where he actually takes the load? Takes the burden of that marriage situation? Takes the lack of finances? Are you really doing that and really rolling it over on him? He says, come to me, a person. In other words, it's not running through the refrigerator. It's not running to a movie. It's not running to another vacation. Those things are fine and in their place. It's actually coming to him, all of you who are tired and worn out from carrying heavy loads. And he says, I will give you a genuine rest in the name of Jesus. And then the second thing is connect with me. Say, connect with me. Now, I have to connect with him. I have to really, now everybody has a different way of connecting with the Lord. But I have to really get away from things. And again, as I said earlier, I like to get outside or maybe get in a high place. I remember another time that I was in a mountain in North Carolina. I was facing, as a young pastor, all sorts of burdens and struggles, and I was flat fatigued. And when fatigue walks in, faith walks out. And I was flatlined in my faith. And I stood on a mountain, and I said, God, I need your help. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know where to go. What do you want to do with this church? What are you doing with this church? I remember just yelling at God. And listen, God can handle your yelling. He can handle your screaming. I had a baseball cap on, and all of a sudden, this huge, big oak tree up at the top of this mountain, an acorn fell out of the tree, hit the bill of my cap, rolled off the bill of my cap, and hit my right toe. And I looked at the acorn, bent over, and picked it up, and God said, this is you now. And he said, take off your hat. I took off my hat. He says, look at the tree. And I looked at the tree. He says, that's what your church will be in years to come. That's where I'm taking you. But you must connect with me on a daily basis. Now, how do you connect with God? You got to have the Word of God. You got to have praise and worship in your life. Right now, we're reading through the book of Luke, and Luke has 24 chapters in it. And on Christmas Eve, we're going to read our final chapter together in our Christmas Eve service on this coming Thursday night. And we're going to connect with God in that service. But I can't just roll on corporate times together. I must have private, intimate time where I connect with Jesus in a daily way. Can you say amen to that? So yoke, what happens, what I said earlier, makes the load easier by sharing it up. And Jesus helps us pull the load. And I remember many, many times when God has helped me work through those situations where I connected with him by his grace and by his power. Now here's the next one here, is what it says, let Jesus change me. In other words, I've got to really let him change me. Remember what I said earlier? The number one problem in your life is you. And it's selfishness. And the thing that happens if I do not receive what he says through his word is I live in denial. Now, I wonder how many of us in this room right now are living in some form of denial. Where a parent, a pastor, a preacher, life or problem, whatever it may have tried to get a hold of you and say, listen, you need to see this in you and stop doing this and put it off. In other words, we live in denial. No, I'm fine. I dealt with that. Everything's great. I'm not that way. And all of a sudden, God uses a moment of clarity. As I said, sometimes they get bigger and bigger and bigger. And sometimes he puts you flat on your back because a lot of people never look up until they're on their back. And all of a sudden, they began to realize, God, are you saying something to me? And yes, I am. I want to speak to you about coming and learning and studying my grace and my power because I'm gentle and humble. Now, this one really confused me for years. I did not figure out how in the world by coming to him, I'm stressed, I'm worn out, I'm exhausted, I'm fatigued, and that I've got to come learn from you about how to be gentle and humble. And I'll show you why, how this is all connected. Let's go on here. Now, what do these two things have to do with peace? That's the question that's being asked. If I was writing this, I'd say, come to me for endurance and stamina so you can go do more. Because that's the type of guy I am. I'm just a leader. I'm happy. Let's go out and solve a problem. Let's get it done. But there, I've now learned, man, I've got to have breaks. I've got to pace myself. I've got to make sure I don't run ahead of God. And if some of you were writing this, this is exactly what you would say too. I just need more stamina and strength, and I'm going to outlast this situation by my own willpower. No, gentleness and humility are the antidotes to the two greatest stress inducers in your life. And here's what they are. Number one is arrogance. Everybody say arrogance. You say, well, that's not me. I dealt with that years ago. If you're dismissing it, you're living in denial this morning. Well, that's not me. I'm humble before Jesus. The fact that you would even say that says you're arrogant. People say, Rick, you've got this problem. And now, at my age and season of life, Pastor Everett, I go, you're absolutely right. That's me. Yes. Tell me. I'm open. What can I learn? And I do that all the time. I used to be really defensive. I don't need that. I don't need this. I don't need that. I'm large and in charge. It's the attitude or the mentality that I would have with people. And now at this time in the season of life, I'm not saying I have it all together either. I'm just saying I'll listen. And here's what I do. I'll take what's said to me by the Lord, of course, and I receive it immediately. If it's coming from another person, I'll go and wait on God. I'll say, God, how about this? Where do I need to apply this in my life? And the Holy Spirit says, well, take this, but throw that out. That was their prejudice or their prejudging of you. But you do need to listen to what they said right here. And that way you're continuing to learn and you're being a humble student. So it comes when we think we're more important than we really are. We get in a hurry and we overcommit ourselves. Anybody here can say amen to that? Man, is it easier to fill up your schedule than fulfill your schedule? Is it easier to get married than to get unmarried? Is it easier to say yes, 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 than to really say, wait a minute, I didn't think about this? In other words, we get ourselves so filled up with so many things in life that we think we're more powerful than we really are. The number two is aggression. When things come, when they try to control everything. In other words, your kids, your wife, your husband, people at work, your church, your neighbors. In other words, you're trying to control, and I really have a word for this. It's called manipulation. It's really what it is. You try to manipulate the situation. You love the person, but you're trying to control the person. You're trying to kick the doors. You're trying to make your own way, and it's not going to work. You know why? Because of that aggressive spirit that's not from God. That comes out of arrogance, comes out of pride, it comes out of seeing yourself really bigger than you really are. And so arrogance and aggression. Say those two with me in the name of the Lord. Come on. Arrogance and aggression. Now, come away from all of the worry of the bitterness of life and leave it with Jesus. That's what I have to learn to constantly do and walk that out. Worry is not believing God will get it right. What happens when I begin to worry in life? And here's the next one right here. That happens in my life. Bitterness is believing God got it wrong. God, you don't understand what they did to me. Listen, man, in the ministry, I have been through some whoppers. I've really had to deal. I've had to walk in the valley sometimes of such deep, deep bitterness. I remember one of the bigger reasons why God dropped me into Botswana is He wanted me totally isolated. I had no recognition other than when I landed with two guitars and two suitcases. That's all I took. And God kind of put His hand over me in Botswana, Africa for 2 years and just kind of hid me with Him. Gave me credibility. I was pastoring, helping people, using my gifts. But another thing He was dealing with was bitterness within my life because of some events that had happened to me personally. And I would announce that I'm healed, I'm well, I'm doing great. And all of a sudden, something would pop up. Your mouth is indicative as an overflow valve. Whatever's in the heart comes out of your mouth. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. If I listen to you long enough, I can tell exactly what's going on in your heart. Even though you may dress it up with Christian terms and language and words, you can still tell there's something that's out of kilter here. And it's probably linked to a bitter root judgment, and bitterness is believing, God, why did you allow this to happen? Why didn't you protect me? God, this happened, and that person said this, and that person said that, and I've got to let it go. You, Lord, give true peace to those who depend on you, because what? Come on. They trust you. In other words, I had to really give it to God, and God is saying exactly the same thing to many of us in this room here. Now, the two areas we talked about is that arrogance and that aggression. And there might be people here this morning who really, during this Christmas season of 2020, you're saying, I don't really have that type of peace. And if that's you this morning, I want you to bow your head right now and close your eyes with me. And if you need a deeper peace from God, you need a deeper, that gift of peace, maybe it's been robbed, whatever situation's happened, I want you to stand up right now in the name of Jesus. You need that touch from God, or maybe you need a moment of clarity. I want you just to stand to your feet and say, God, I'm already standing because I still need this deeper, deeper realm of God's peace in my life. You got to be honest if you're going to receive from God. Don't try to be arrogant. Don't try to say, well, I'm okay. This is for so-and-so. No, it's not. It's for you and it's for me. In the name of Jesus, just stand up right now by the power of the Holy Spirit. God is bringing his peace. The Holy Spirit is bringing his healing. His deeper, deeper releasing and liberating power and provision that comes. Now you who have stood, and the rest of you if you want, you can also stand. Everybody can stand with us together. I want us to read this together out loud. This is a sample prayer. I don't do a lot of these, but sometimes we need to, I write them out just so we stay focused in the name of the Lord. Let's read this together. Dear God, open my heart to see things as they really are. Let's read it together. To see you, me, my problems as they really are. Fill my heart with light. I need your clarity in my life. Stop right there. Father, right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I speak clarity. The spiritual fog, the emotional fog, the confusing fog, the marital fog, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Come right now by the power of the Holy Spirit. Clarity across this room. Clarity for a pastor and his wife. Clarity for people who are wrestling with jobs or lack of finances. I speak that in the name of Jesus. Let's go on together in the next part. God, all I have and all I am comes from you. Forgive me from not recognizing that everything I am and everything I have comes from you. And that's so important to walk that out. I don't want to worry anymore. I want to worship. I don't want panic in my life. So teach me to pray. As I come to you, would you change me? I'm not coming to rules or religion. To you as a person in my life, I need that soul rest. And if you want to get off the stress train and get on the peace train, some of you remember that phrase, you're as old as I am. But God has a peace train that he wants to give to your heart and your life. And let's go on the rest of it here. I want to yoke up with you and work alongside you. I'm willingly give my burdens and problems over to you. Jesus, thank you for giving me the gift of peace. Amen. Close your eyes. Father, Holy Spirit, take over right now. And would you deepen whatever's happened in this room while I was speaking? Holy Spirit, the life change in this room is not coming from a man. It's not coming from me. It's coming from you. We acknowledge you in all our ways that you will direct your peace into every life. I pray this Christmas Eve, today, tomorrow, this week, whatever has to happen, God, you'll bring a moment of clarity and revelation. You'll deal with arrogance. You'll deal with aggression. Father, forgive us for denial and blame-shifting others. We take responsibility for our sin, and we lay it before you and thank you that the blood of Jesus has covered that signature weakness or sin in my personality, my behavior, and my words. And I thank you for the power of liberty. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Raise your hands to him right now and begin to open your mouth and thank him and praise him in the name of Jesus.
Father, we bless you this morning. We thank you. We acknowledge you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. We give you everything, God. We turn it over to you. We're not God. You're God. We acknowledge your lordship in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, Pastor Everett, amen.
Okay, thank you. Do me a favor. Let's give Pastor Rick another hand.